You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you again and again. So set apart these moments. Honor yourself, honor your word, and in the light of our hours and minutes ahead, help us in every way to have the advantage in all the time that you will give us. Even so, come. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we're in the upper room. The upper room is about to be exited. Our Lord is going to go out into the garden and then to the trial and then to the crucifixion. And so the minutes, the hours, are a handful of them, as it were. And when we came to John chapter 15, we understood that God had communicated, helped, encouraged his 11 that were left, disciples. And then as he got up, stood up, he's going to go now and officially leave and go to his hour, the crucifixion. And therefore, chapter 15, 16, and 17. And all of them, as we share together, are no comments, there's no discussion. It's straight down the line information that they need. And you cannot come even close to all of the wonderful, wonderful things that he had set out in front of them for us to have. All of those things, chapter 13, 14 in particular, all of those truths were to represent him in an awesome way. He knows in his crucifixion, the Jews and the Gentiles are going to reject him. But he's going to take the whosoevers that he has and show them and use them to show himself in a marvelous way. To show himself, not to show them, to show himself. Now, and in doing so, it is required, it is respected, it is expected, and it is essential that they understand the needed relationship to who he is. Without it, it's impossible. None of it will work. And therefore, he drives home the point in the upper room, he drives it home. Now, hang on to that part and look at, if you would, chapter 15. And I'm going to just do what we did before. Take it just to tie the thing together. Chapter 15 and verse 2. The end of his statement. That it may bring forth the branch, the believing heart, may bring forth much more fruit. Then you slide down to verse 5, or verse 4, to bear fruit in itself. Verse 5, sliding down, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we've got more fruit and much fruit. And then we go down to verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. How so? That you may bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So it's all about being productive and being producing what? A relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ, as we shared in Sunday school. A relationship to God that demonstrates God's wonderful essence, nature, being, his wonderful Trinity and unity. Unity in Trinity, his awesome person, and his wonderful person. And that's what the fruit does. The fruit's all about God expressing himself in a human being that he has saved, created and died for. Now, failure to do that, it's either or. Failure to do that means if you don't do that, chapter 15 and verse 2, he purges it. He goes and cleanses it, and chapter 15, verse 4, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye. The branch can't do it without the vine, and you can't do it without me, he said. Verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. And he says it, you can't say it any clearer. You must have the relationship, A. B, without it, there's nothing. Nothing means nothing. I mean nothing. Now, you got to hang on to that. Now, therefore, and in verse 6, he gives the warning as we shared. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. The branch, remember, grape branches are good for nothing. You don't use them, you burn them, they're waste. They can't make wood, you can't make idols out of them, you can't do anything. You just burn the branch. And that's what we read in Ezekiel chapter 15. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That's what happens. The branch just dries out. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And we share together, as we did all that, there is the burning. That's the lake of fire. There's no the here. It's straight burning, just plain burning, just a general burning. In other words, it's good. What are you going to do with it? Nothing. Easy. What am I going to do with a branch that doesn't produce any grapes? Nothing. Burn it. It's nothing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the relationship is absolutely necessary. And to pick up the impact of it, over to chapter 17. And in chapter 17, you will note in verse 21, this is before, as he ends his upper room discourse. Verse 21, chapter 17, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that purpose, they may be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, whole, wanting nothing, in one. And that the world that's looking at them, may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So it's a unique oneness that God the Father has with God the Son and God the Holy Ghost to bring forth a wonderful glorification of God. How so? In the person of Jesus Christ. Remember we read that in Sunday school and thought about all of those things. Matthew 11:27. There's only one way you'll ever know God. That doesn't mean he isn't God, but you will never get to know and understand his magnificence as we shared, apart from his Son. No one can know God the Father apart from the Son. It's impossible. And therefore, how are we going to know God? How is the world going to know God? By way of his Son. Now, his resurrection, the only sign he's going to give is the sign of his resurrection. And how are you going to show the sign of your resurrection? With an empty tomb? But with believers that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, believed in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and they're saved. And they're going to be a testimony, a grand, glorious testimony to his person in a very unique, special, wonderful way to show his grace. Now, therefore, and there's no way to do this outside of and apart from God's saving grace in the person of Jesus Christ, having a unique relationship. And therefore, angels have fallen, that's true, and God is bearing witness to them. And Adam, angels fall, and Adam fell. In Adam's fall, we sinneth all, and all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And so we all, so we're all there, all in need, a need of the relationship. And God has made possible to evident the relationship in a person of Jesus Christ. So when a whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, there to be a testimony to everyone around them that it is possible to know God, even though in Adam's fall we sinneth all. Our sin, and we are dead in trespasses and sin. All of that being true. Now, having said that little bit in John chapter 15, and keeping that in mind, if you would. Now, I want to do a little exercise, if I can. We're going to, if you can use your imagination, we're going to go upper room. We're going to go down the corridors of the street, and the garden is over here up on the east side, up on the mountain up there. And the garden's up there, and then they're going to come and take him prisoner, and they're going to bring him down and through the gate and trial and crucifixion. All of that's going to be. Now, you and I can read this and say, well, that's in the upper room, and that's what he told them. And all of those awesome truths of chapter 14, et cetera, et cetera, all of those wonderful truths that God made possible for a human being to be able to participate, to be able to practice, to be able to enjoy such a relationship to such a one as God Almighty is awesome. But, now God, that was, oh yeah, turn the book, John. Ah, I want you now to go after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, God gives the New Testament. And I want you to know, as I do this, that God, what he said in the upper room, he never changed it. And I want you to see it. Without me, you can do nothing. If unless you have the relationship, you can't produce what God meant to produce. Let me just try it. Over, if you would, please. Over to the book of Ephesians. And you know in Galatians, we read it without using that. Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. And all of that fruit is to demonstrate the much fruit, the more fruit. That's what it's for, to show God. That's right. And the Spirit of God is going to show God's love, joy, peace, etc. Now, here's Ephesians, if I can. And in the book of Ephesians, that's the key, a model church, a model assembly, in Turkey, on the coast there. And here's Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is in the place, and it's a wonderful, wonderful assembly, as you know. It starts out, and God has it. So now we come over, if I can, to Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 2. Ephesians 5, and in verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, God, you did that. We're supposed to walk in love and joy. Love, joy, peace, that's the fruit of the Spirit of God. Verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, and you're no more in the darkness, in the light. So now you see. And seeing, having light, you can understand, and God, you can do that. So as you slide through in the context, and slide down, in verse 11, just for the sake of context, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, having said that, now, therefore, but... Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest, public, clear, plain, by the light. We're children of light. We should be in the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest, clear, public, plain, is light. That's what you know. You know, you know that from the law of physics. What do you know? You know that you never see people. You see colors. And it's the colors that make you see. You don't see. You close your eyes. You can't. No, it's colors. Colors make you see. That's what you're seeing, colored, the colors. And you, that's how you can determine people, everything, by colors. Take the colors away, you see nothing. Wow. Now God, what does that light does that? What is light? Light makes what? Prism? Light, all the colors. Makes you see. Light is to see. Therefore, verse 14, therefore, wherefore, he saith, awake, awake, a command, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, what are you saying to the Ephesians believers? Without me, you can do nothing. And all of the things I'm saying to you, don't be as a dead person. Don't be dead. Now, if you don't, and so here we are looking at the burning. The branches burn. But if you don't produce anything, then you're as a dead. As dead people, you aren't supposed to be dead. Look at verse 5. And chapter, go over with me, chapter 2. Chapter 2 and in verse 5. 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins, sliding to chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Back over to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, by grace he is saved. Back over to chapter 5. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now you don't, carnal, fleshly, no flesh shall glory in my presence. It's impossible, flesh and flesh, there's no profit at all. There's none at all. Flesh, I don't want it. I crucified it. Now, so it's there. So what are you trying to tell me, God, as Ephesians? You're telling us, what are you telling us, believers? I don't want you to be as a dead person. I want you to be as a living person. You have life. You got saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath no life. I gave you life. Live it. Live it. Don't be dead. Don't be dead. You're talking to believers. That's right. That's encouragement. I told you. I want you to live. Again, John 10, to have life abundantly. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, awake in verse 14, to be aroused in the middle, to do it yourself, I should say. You awake yourself. Now, no one's going to wake you up. You wake up. It's a personal thing. You yourself wake up. Wake up. Don't be sleeping. Wake up. That's easy to sleep. I know it is. Well, no question about it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. Now, if you go over, and we'll do it just for the moment, Romans chapter 6, and I want you just to pay attention to the dead so that you connect it and that you understand. We aren't talking about unsaved people. We're talking about believers that are supposed to be with it, need to be with it, and not just Sunday morning, whatever do we have now. Here, Romans chapter 6. May I go, please? Chapter 6. And I'll pick up in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And now, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. God said, do you understand? I crucified you. I crucified you. You're dead. I don't want anything. I gave you life. I want you to exercise it. Awake. Wake from what? The dead. The dead. You're dead. Oh, no, I do. I sing and preach and do everything. But no, you're dead. You need to wake up inside of you. Wake up inside. Wow. That's telling to believers. Why? Because there's awesome truth. Think of the truth of Ephesians. It's loaded. Wow. All kinds of wonderful, wonderful truth. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead. Dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So wake thou that sleepest. It's a command. Wake up. You're dead. I died. When Christ died, I died. And I'm alive in Christ, Jesus. Not in me. It's Christ in me that's alive. And I need to know that and honor that. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Wake, thou that sleepest. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Wow. So God, here you are telling us, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, picking up, so you see it again, a little differently, as in the other side of the coin. Romans chapter 8, going, if I can, to verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh, verse 8, if those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Without me, you can do nothing. I told you. You know, you don't understand. Without me. You got to be, wake up. That doesn't mean, get up. Get on the ball. On the ball. Understand what happened to you if you get saved. And live. Live. But I got to live for work, home, school, play, everything. No, you just have that. You have to do that. But in doing all that, you want to enjoy life. And it doesn't matter whether you're a floor sweeper or a CEO in a penthouse. Do it. Doesn't matter what you are. 1 Corinthians 7. Doesn't matter what you are. You work for somebody. You have a sweat box or someone. So what? Do what is unto me. It isn't important what you do. It's how you do it. It's how you do it. Enjoy it. Honor me in it. That's all. Awake. Don't be asleep. What kind of evidence is that to people? They can't see any difference between you and them. They get a news about something or bad news or something, they have to handle all of them. And your reaction to that is just like theirs. There's no difference. You have a great God. And the whole company can sink into the river. What's that got to do with it? God said, that's no problem. If I open up the earth and swallow you, what do you care? You're all right. Remember Psalm 46? And aren't you all right? But you're going through the, it's open. Think of an earthquake out there. Earthquake opens up, you're down through the hole. I mean, wow. But be of good cheer. Nothing's going to happen except hurt you, but you get skinned or something and a big rock will fall on you. But what do you care? A rock can't fall on you. It can fall on your body, but it can't fall on you. Because if it falls on you, it falls on me. Because you and I are, One. So there's nothing anywhere going to happen. That's not happens to you, it happens to me. So be of good cheer. No matter what you feel and think, disease and plague, relax. You and I have a unique oneness. And if you don't abide, then without me, you'll never know it. And if you don't wake up, you'll never know it. Now, go a little further. If you would, over to Revelation. Well, no, before you do that, that was a good thought. Thank you. Romans chapter 13. Where would I be without you? Romans 13. Picking up in thought. Well, we're right here. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time, to awake, there's your little verb, out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're closer to the Lord's return. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not of in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. No, I don't want any flesh. I reckon, stay awake. I don't want you, and stay awake. Look for my coming. That's what I want. Over, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, you will recall, in chapter 3, picking up, please, the church in Sardis. That's in Greece, Turkey over there, near Ephesus. And here's chapter 3, and picking up, if you know, you'll remember, in verse 1. And the angel, the messenger of the church, assembly in Sardis, write, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest, and art," what? You're dead. You guys need to wake up. I know what you are. You're dead. I know that. You need to wake up. Be watchful and strengthen, watchful, wake up. Wake up. And strengthen the things which remain. Because you can't have what's already gone. It's already gone. In other words, 10 years ago in your life, if you've lived that long, you can't repeat that. It's all gone. In fact, yesterday is all gone to you, isn't it? You can't have any more yesterday. Whatever yesterday was is all gone. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's all gone. You can't have yesterday. It's all gone. You can think about it, have pictures about it, tape it, but you can't eat yesterday's lunch. Try it today. See if you can be satisfied. You know, try it. Eat yesterday's lunch, even if it was good. Now, Revelation, God, wake up. Wake up, thou, wake up. Strengthen the things that remain. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, the church in Ephesus, remember? And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 4. Nevertheless, this is in Ephesus now. We just looked at it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, to abandon, to walk away from, to be indifferent to. You have left your first love. And once you lose that, then there's no incentive, even if you try to be so disciplined and consistent, it won't work. You got to have a relationship. That's why God said, unless you abide without me, you can do nothing. And there's no way to produce much fruit, because what we're talking about is life. Whose life? God's life. What is love? It's God's love. What is peace? It's God's peace. What is joy? It's God's joy. What are you showing? God. That's what you're doing. So if you don't include God, there's no way to have God show himself in your wonderful life. And it's a simple, wonderful thing. Now, therefore, in verse 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and hey, they have, and they need to repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick, golden, out of the place, except thou repent. And the church in Sardis and all of them in Turkey disappeared. And you look, the whole great country of Turkey, where's the churches? All gone. All gone. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking, and we're trying to understand chapter 3, where you're in Revelation, chapter 3. And you're the end of the age, so you don't get discouraged. This is God tells you what it's going to be. Everything ends in downhill. It goes, the law of thermodynamics, it just all goes downhill. That's what it does. It doesn't go up, it goes downhill. Why? Because everything's trying to succeed without God. And if you don't include God, it can't make it. Nothing makes it. Everything ages. Pyramids even age and turn to dust. Everything does without God. So now, here we are, Revelation chapter 3, you know it, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, cold, nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and need nothing. God, we don't need you. And knowest not that thou art wretched? No, we aren't wretched. And miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now that's God's diagnosis of the local church in the end of the age where we are. Oh, look at the great churches. Hold it. Stand back and count to 10. Better count to 1,000. And take another look. What do you have? Do you have the awesomeness of God's wonderful person being understood? Not likely. I wish it was. We wish it was more so. But it isn't like it could be now. So therefore, and there, I wish I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, and to be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see, etc. I want to do a wonderful thing. But you know, even in the last days, even in Jeremiah's day, when they're all going into captivity, in Nebuchadnezzar, God is gracious to them. And if they would enjoy the grace, even going into Babylon, if they would just look to God, even though it was a terrible thing to go into such idolatry, God would have been gracious to them. Wow, but they just didn't do it. Over and God, so looking. Now, here we are looking over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Now, God, what are you going to say? Here's the book of Hebrews, God giving it, for to be able to grow, to know. Now, what are you going to say in there to help us? Chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? What for? Well, remember we had John chapter 15, verse 2, to purge the branch, to cut it, to cleanse it, to make it fruitful. Okay? I'll read verse 14 again. Offered himself without spot to God. Purge your conscience from what? Dead works. Yeah. Awake thou from the dead. Dead works. What kind of works? I just do everything. That's right. But you did it without me. And without me, it's dead. Without me, you can do nothing. So I don't care how grand and noble your noble prize was. Without me, it's zero. But I love him. Zero. It's all you. I care. I preach. It's all you. All us. That's all it is. God says nothing. It can't go anywhere. Where's your love going to go? Not very far. Not far. How can? We don't have it to do. We can't make it. But God's different. Hang on to that. Now, so therefore, purge your conscience from dead works to serve, the end of verse 14, to serve the living God. That's what God you're looking for. That's James chapter 2. You aren't very far away. Over to the book of James next door. And James, you're going to tell us you're way up in the front on the writers and recording the New Testament. Here's James chapter 2, and may I pick up, please, in verse 20. Chapter 2, well, verse 14 better. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? No, faith can't save him. No, it can't. Sliding it down, no, we've got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we slide down to verse 17. Even so, well, yeah. Even I don't want to leave too much context out. Even so, if it hath not fit works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. You can't. You can't. Faith is what you put your trust in. And you have to, where is your trust? With who, what, when, where? I have faith. I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'm trusting God, God's word. I'm telling you, who am I trusting? God. I'm trusting his word. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is a one God. Thou doest well. The devils, demons, also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is what? It's dead. It's dead. I have faith. Without works, it's dead. Without me, nothing. Unless you're attached to me. Faith in me. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. That's somewhere it goes. Show me. Where's your faith? You can't. You can't do it. It's dead. Dead. Now, we're talking to believers all the time. And we're looking at them. And we're trying to understand, God, you're consistent in trying to admonish us and help us understand that what you have done in your amazing grace is to take us and show the awesomeness of grace. And I can't do that because I sneak into tonight. I don't want to do that. Now, the awesomeness, the lowest of low. And I've taken you and made you a child of God, a son of God. I made you an heir, a joint heir with who I am. Now, how can you be that? I've given you, Ephesians 1:3, all things. What more do you want? Everything that Christ has in the head, the body has it to enjoy. How can you have more than that? You can't. God, you're going to bang it home to us? I am. Without me, you can do nothing. And if you don't understand that, don't keep trying to do it, because all it's going to be is dead. And what do you do with dead things? You bury them. What do you do with broken things? You burn them. They're no good. It's missing the whole point of why you breathe the air. You're missing it. Not you guys, but you got the idea. Now, so having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and sliding just a little more so you can see it, sliding down, verse 23 in the scripture was fulfilled, that which saith, Abraham believed God, was counted him for righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. Sliding in verse 26. As the body, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. It's dead. Dead. If you're missing from the body, we bury you. We send you to the morgue. We bury you. Well, then God said, that's just like you are. Faith without the spirit, you're dead. Without works, it's dead. You got to have, your faith has to have some place. And if you don't put it in the right place, it will produce nothing. Nothing at all. Wow. So now, over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3 again, where you were, but remind yourself in the light of what we're doing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up the thought, remember in verse 12, we have a wonder. Well, no, I got to go before that. Verse 9, we are laborers. Co-laborers together with God. 3:9, 3 and 9. We are co-laborers with God. Like under the yoke. Yoke, you're on one side of the yoke, Christ is on the other side. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Remember we did that other day. Husbandry, tilled the ground. The tilled ground. Words. Your works. Tilled ground. Till the ground. And that God, that's what we are. We are God's garden. We are God's where he grows, where he produces. And we are God's husbandry. And we are God's building. We are God's garden. We are God's building. And in the light of that, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the foundation. You got to have a foundation. What do we? Faith, where's your faith? Resting in a foundation. Faith without works is dead. No, I'm going to tell you where my faith is. Your faith is resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he crucified you, and you, that's why you're dead, and that's why he tells you to reckon yourself alive. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, etc., and if you build upon it of the right material, it lasts. If you don't, it's all gone. All gone. You're saved. I told you to awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead. Otherwise, you just wait. You're going to end up with nothing. Now, God, do you want us to end up with nothing? No. No. Before you were ever created, I had a wonderful plan for your life. If you had taken it. Where is the plan found? In my Son. Where is the life found? In my Son. Where is it going to show? Where are you going to enjoy it? In my Son. As a son. In my Son. As a son. That's where you're going to have it. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Remember, burning the branch. God, you're going to burn it all? That's right. I'm trying to tell you. I'm going to give you a little help. I'm going to put it on fire and see if it can last. Oh, it's good. I did so. I did my best. I tried so hard. I'm going to put a match to it. Let's see if it can last. Whoosh, up it goes. No, God said. No, you need to understand it was what I do, not what you do. It's not what you do. It's what I do as you allow me to outwork my wonderful plan for your life, using your brain, your blood, your brawn, your bones, using your mind and your heart and your personality, using all of that as you yield, Romans 6:13, to me and trust me by faith. I'll work it all out. That's all. It isn't hard. You just do what you do as best you can. Go to Friendly's and there's 13 different, who has pictures? Denny's has pictures. Don't they have pictures? Denny's. You go to Denny's? Menu, aren't there pictures? And you look at the pictures, and you pick a pick. Take your pick. Whatever you eat, whatever you pick on the menu, believe in your heart that God is gracious and sets it apart, and eat with thanksgiving to my pleasure. I don't tell you what to eat. Eat whatever you want. It isn't an issue. Your relationship to me is an issue. What you do is an issue in your relationship to me. Now, so therefore, sliding along, verse 14, if any man's work abide, that he built that upon it shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Even so, how are you going to be saved? By what? By fire. That's how you're going to be saved. Why? Because God said, I'm going to consume everything that isn't of me. I am a God, think of Hebrews 12. Our God is a consuming what? Our God is a consuming fire. And I'm going to test it. And if I'm in it, it can't burn. If it's of me, it can't burn. If it's of you, it can. But of me, it can't. So that's why you want to abide in me and look to me and go forward in a most wonderful way. And do so. And it's without, I'm telling you, you see, he said, I can't turn the pages. That's what you're telling me. And God, I got to get it clear in my little brain, my little heart, my little head, how it works. God, without me, without you, you can do nothing. No flesh shall glory in your presence. John chapter 6:63 in that. Flesh profits nothing, he said. It's no good. If I did that, I don't need to die on the cross. I just need to get you to be fired up and do things and do it. Join a club, a creed, or a group, and a team, or whatever, and go and do what you do. Wow. Now, in order to capitalize on that, having said that, so you understand, it's impossible. So you have to understand that. No qualms about it. You can do and think whatever you want. Without him, it's zero. So no matter how you live your life, how you come and go and do whatever you want, it's zero. Now, I'm going to help you. Because I understand. I'd read this, you know, I say, wow. What am I going to do in this lousy, wretched body of mine? How could I possibly ever do that, God? Over, if you would, in closing. Over, if you would, to 1 John. In 1 John, if you would. And you know it. I'm just going to remind you of its relevancy to your life in a practical way. 1 John, chapter 1. Our Lord's talking about a unique, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique, ongoing, super-duper relationship to Almighty God in an almighty way that's real, a real relationship that you expect us to have. That's correct. Now, sliding to verse 5. This then is the message which you've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So therefore, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Thus, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, because then we're like dead men. Burn and bury the wood. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. Now, God, what did you tell me? What did you tell us? I want you just to enjoy my presence and go to work and your home and all of the tough things you face and honor me and do them as unto me. You're never alone. I want you to walk in the light, in the light. Here we are. Stay in the light. Don't go in the darkness. God is light. God is the light of our life. So stay in the light, and what? And I'm going to go and take care of your lousy old nature and what is impossible for you. You hate it even. You won't ever trust me. But I am going to go, and I crucified that lousy attitude. I crucified it. Reckon yourself dead, and just enjoy my presence. And I don't want you to be a genius or something. I just want you to enjoy being belonging to me, to walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us. So are we trying to? Impossible. True. But when God cleanses us from all sin, word, thought, deed, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you cleanse us. That's right. I crucified you. I'm finished. I want you to enjoy a new life. I don't want you to don't get all wrapped up and say, how am I going to ever, whatever I ask in your name, you will do it. You have to learn that. But you have to get there. And you have to enjoy getting there. And most of us are just going to have to enjoy getting there. Wouldn't it be nice to have a silly thing? To have a big super-duper degree from Oxford and MIT and Caltech and whatever, and line them all up, and you're the super-duper everything, super-duper, and you're worried about how your marriage is going. So what good did all that do? Now, but wouldn't it be something, though, if you didn't have any of that, But you had more than that. You had God. And you have a peace of God that passes all understanding. That's fruit, being fruitful, showing that God can tranquilize the heart in the hard and easy things, both, and help you and make it. So we walk in the light. So it isn't there. Oh, God, I get down by my bed. I've been doing it for 100 years so far. Wow. All I can say is, God, thank you for the cleansing blood. Thank you. You see, 1 John? Turn a page and we'll close. Appreciate your patience. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, if you would. 4:19. We love him. Why? Because he loves us. So it isn't something you initiated. He did. And he wants you to exercise it. Respond. Be at ease. Walk in the light. Just be glad for the cleansing blood of Christ. Wow. And his grace. Wow. That's all I can tell you. It's an awesome thing. I think if more of us would just get a handle on that a little better, it would make a real difference. It really would. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and your grace and your mercy. And God, we're just trying to get after us better. God, we want you to get after us. God, we don't want to be sitting there bumping the log, and when we could have a wonderful relationship to you, and not because of anything about us or our background, our personalities, our quirks, our idiosyncrasies. God, nope, it's all of that belongs on the cross. And you outwork a wonderful, wonderful presence. You're a wonderful person and presence. In our work, our home, our school, coming and going, driving, eating, drinking, sleeping. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for caring. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.